This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm still reeling over being called a chooch. Hurts my feelings a little bit.
You've never been called that before?
I've been called worse.
Worse?
But not by listeners. Usually they say nice things about our
show. Why do you think they called you that?
I don't know. I was told that they liked me, they liked the show, but that I'm a chooch, which means I'm an imbecile.
Hmm.
Maybe that's part of my powers.
I can't think of a reason why they would say that during the time they said it.
Yeah. Hmm. I didn't say anything weird.
No.
I don't think.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it sounds like me to say something weird, but not at that particular moment. If you can remember, hit us up on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com, @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran. It is 901, brought to you by Precision Pointing. Have you checked your bricks? Call Precision Pointing at 724-WE-POINT. Doran, before we get back into the Pirates, Pat Narduzzi, critical before of Coach Prime. I do think Prime is right in one respect, that Pat, even though he's been outspoken from the very beginning on the transfer portal and NIL and all the pitfalls that come with it, I do think when it hit him directly in the face with Jordan Addison, I do think that made him sour on it even more if possible. But here's what Narduzzi said about Coach Prime in May. We'll see how it works out, but that to me looks bad on college football coaches across the country. The reflection is on one guy right now, but when you look at it overall, those kids that have moms and dads and brothers and sisters and goals in life, I don't know how many of those 70 that left really wanted to leave, or they were kicked in the butt to get out. Now, after that, Deion Sanders, he said, just yesterday it was released, what was his situation when he came to Pitt? He had a different situation than me. He's not mad at me. He is mad at the situation in football now that allowed his best players to leave a year ago. He's not mad at me. He's using me to shoot bullets at another coach who he has an issue with. I don't know who he is. If he walked in here right now, I wouldn't know him. Doran, the floor is yours.
That's just so funny. I mean, I've said this like 10 times. Whenever it comes to Deion Sanders, it's about Deion Sanders. Whenever it comes to Pat Narduzzi, it's about developing kids, not just in football, but as young men. And Pat Narduzzi has won a lot of football games, and Deion Sanders has won football games, but not at this level. And he's a first-time head coach at this level. Deion Sanders pushed out 70 kids to bring in his own people, to bring in his own kids. That's not developing kids. That's not caring about kids. And at the end of the day, it is about Deion. It's always been about Deion. From Florida State to Atlanta to Dallas to San Francisco as a media member on TV, it's always been about Deion. And the whole part about him not knowing Pat Narduzzi is ridiculous, because he just basically said he knows exactly who he is.
Yeah.
He knows his situation.
Yeah, he brought up Jordan Addison without using Jordan Addison's name. But if you know that situation, you're obviously tapped into the goings-on and the scuttlebutt of all things college football. Also, if you don't really, and he's just shooting darts, but if you don't know who Pat Narduzzi is, you're probably a pretty bad football coach.
Right.
You should know the lay of the land. You always say lay of the land. You should know the lay of the land. You should know the scope of everything. You should know that Pat Narduzzi has won 20 games now combined in 2 years, finished in the top 25 in 2 years, and won the ACC a year ago. You should know those things. If I'm Pat Narduzzi, Colin brought it up, I think this is a great tact. His next press conference, he was Pat from Pittsburgh when he called us. He should have a name tag. Pat from Pittsburgh. Hey, guys, don't know if you know who I am. Just want to introduce myself. I'm Pat from Pittsburgh, Pat Narduzzi. I think you nailed it, though. with the selfishness of Deion Sanders. And listen, I understand the irony here. You can't get behind a microphone and not have a little bit of an ego or a little bit of selfishness, like to hear yourself talk. I know I do. But I think the majority of college football coaches are like that. What makes Pat Narduzzi such a good coach to me is that he still relates to his players, and his players know that they care for him. I told the story a week ago of Jackson Brown's mom. I ran into her at the airport. He's a Pitt commit, and she could not say enough nice things about Pat Narduzzi, the way that he sold the program, the offensive line coach, how they cared about not just her son, but him. I think it's going to be tough for Deion Sanders to sell anything other than Deion Sanders. Right. And if they don't win, that luster, it's gone real quick. If they're a 6-win team next year, that's a huge improvement year over year. You still want to go join a 6-win team for that guy who only cares about himself? I wouldn't.
No chance.
But I wasn't recruited.
I mean, but think about it. If he walks into your school and he's, you know, flashing Deion, he's Coach Prime. Don't call him Deion, call him Coach Prime. Like that right there, I'd have been like, yeah, I'm out. I'm not in. Like, I mean, it's about you. You're calling yourself, you're telling people to call you Coach Prime. Like, that's all about, like, that right there, you know, young people aren't that dumb. Like, they aren't. They get it. They know where they want to spend. Now, I will say this, if they do have the funds to bring guys in.
Well, that changes things.
That changes everything. And that's what the landscape is of college sports now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not about the loyalty. It's not about, you know, hey, I grew up watching West Virginia, or I grew up watching Pitt, and that's where I'm going to go. Nah, like, you could grow up watching West Virginia, you could grow up watching Pitt, and whenever it comes to the time, if you know, Northern Illinois gives you $200,000, you're going to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I said if the Saudis gave me $1.3 billion in blood money, I would take it. So, and this might even be worse, if Pitt offered me a big chunk of change, I would have gone there if I was some sort of athlete being recruited out of high school. I also think Deion hasn't violated any rules. He hasn't. So he's just operating within the system that's been created. And I think that Pat probably should have more of a gripe with the system than with Deion, although Deion is abusing it more than anybody else. But I do think that Deion understands that a point resonates and a point hit with him when instead of fighting fire with fire, instead of going back at him on principle, he says, I don't know who he is.
Right.
Like, that low blow to me makes me understand, or at least think that he understands, that Pat Narduzzi has a point when it comes to developing players. Thank you.
That's
not a
point.
Chooch.
Good point by you. Deion should be worried about building a program and not worried about Pat Narduzzi. He's not going to play this year. I know that.
There's program building issues too, I think. Like, they bring in Deion and they want to spend all this money on Coach Prime. Sorry. Don't want to offend him.
See?
Coach Prime. And I think there's an expectation that you win now. And in his mind, being a guy who was so successful in the NFL, he's thinking, okay, how can I turn this roster over as quickly as possible? Part of that is on the culture that's being set too. I'm not trying to make excuses for Deion, but if they're telling him, you're in, you're here, spring game, sell it, you got to win now, the only way he thinks he can probably win now, there's no time for development. I just got to get it done.
If he's forced to be in that situation and have to win now, he's going to do it the way that he did it. And do the way that he was successful, because that's the only way he knows how to actually win, I think, is to do it his way. And that sometimes isn't going to jive. Like, that ain't going to work. That works some places. It's not going to work everywhere. And there's a way of doing things. And I know that it takes time to build a program, but there's a way of starting the foundation of a program. Ask Pat Narduzzi. You know, ask, you know, all the coaches, ask Wanstead. I mean, it was tough for our first year, but then the next year it started getting better and better and better because you set the foundation. If you go all in of the ways that, like, think about if Wanstead came to Pitt his first year and was like, you know, this is like the Miami Dolphins. Shoot, you know, we're going to, you know, we got Ricky Williams, and, you know, you're going to be the guy and we're going to do it this way. I'm going to wear sunglasses. Like, it wouldn't have worked. But he knew that a college program had to be built a certain way in order to get to where you want to get. We didn't ultimately get to the highest goal, but he built a program.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't build a program overnight. And the way that Deion's doing it, I don't think it's not going to fit.
Well, we got this text. They're young men, not kids, is what somebody says. They're young men who are still developing as people.
Yes.
When I was 20, I should just stop talking. And when I was 20, there were things that I did that I now know much better than at 32 years old. People think of your development They think of your formative years, like in your youth. They were watching Rugrats in the 90s or whatever. Well, part of your formative years, I think the area of most self-discovery is in college. And if you're a guy, kid, young man, whatever you want to call it, athlete, and you want to go to college at Colorado because they've got a good, I don't know, Moving Mountains program or whatever, and you played on the football team, were given a scholarship to be on that football team, and the new coach comes in, doesn't watch you in person once, and moves you out, that's a terrible reflection on that guy.
Terrible.
And 20, 15, 14, these are all formative years. And now all of a sudden the course of your life has been changed because why? This guy wants to come in and win tomorrow. He's never seen me play.
It's not like I lost a job either. And first of all, it's not the NFL. And second of all, it's not like I lost a job. I was just here and you were brought in as a coach and now I can't be here. Well, I'm not just here to play football. I'm here to get a degree. I'm here to make sure I set up myself for my life after football, whenever that is. That's why you go to these. That's not the main reason why you go to, you know, certain schools, but it's a reason.
Well, all else being equal, if I get offered at Colorado and I get offered at Colorado State, but one program offers what I want to learn for my grown-up life, if I'm not good enough to go to the NFL, then I'm going to go to that school. Like, that's a huge difference. I went to West Virginia because they had a sports broadcasting program.
Exactly.
And I wanted to watch major collegiate sports and report on that. I could have gone to Ohio. That's a great journalism school. But you know what? They didn't have the great athletics, and they're varying degrees of great. Don't bust me on that one. But you are a young man, young person, young athlete, because you can bring all the sports into this, and you are making decisions for your life. And there are coaches that are me-oriented that still will give a flying bleep about that. Deion is not that guy.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't want to play for him either. And I got this text. Crowley, you made a great point talking about him abusing the system and then you caved at the end. Listen, if every single coach were doing this, I'd say that there's no grounds to criticize him on. Every coach is doing it in their own way. I mean, hell, Keaton Slovis was here last year. Phil Jerkovic is here this year. Every coach is doing it in their own way. There are different amounts of money being handed out in bags now over the table instead of under the table. But nobody's doing it like he's doing it. That's the difference. When you say, oh, it's the system. It is the system. He isn't breaking any rules, but that doesn't mean it's not immoral. And we talked the other day, immorality is their place in sports. He's trying to win football games. But now we're talking about young people growing up. I don't know. Drives me nuts. I don't like Coach Prime. I thought he was going to have success. I don't think he's going to have success anymore.
Me neither.
Nailed it. Coming up next, we blew the Pirates off. I thought we'd do a little splitsies there, and we did not. If the Pirates take 2 out of 3 from the Mets, they'll have won 6 out of 9 in this homestand. Doran and I said before the homestand that that was a reasonable goal, and if they achieved it, we should celebrate. Well, do you celebrate it now after having lost 2 games to the A's? That's next Fan Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line of 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Do you know why I say it like that, Dor? You can text us.
Why?
Because I can't find the piece of paper, and that's what happens.
Try to draw it out.
Yeah, so I know I'm going to say the text thing and then try to buy some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Run the clock out the fourth quarter kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. 4-minute offense.
Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, which is brought to you by the heating, cooling, and plumbing experts at Armstrong Comfort and Matt Mertz Plumbing. Still on the way, Chris Mack in about 9 minutes. That's right, I said it to end the show. But the Buccos, big series, Doran. Mm-hmm. Big series. I think you can go a long way to getting the stink out of your mouth, the taste out of your nose, set it backwards, of the A's series if you do merely win two of these three games. I think people will forget. Now, at the end of the year, if you miss out on the division by a game or two, I think people will come around and go, you couldn't beat the A's. You lost to the A's. But if you set a goal, and we did, and they listened to us in that locker room, of winning 6 out of 9 in a homestand, and you do it by hook or by crook, whatever it looks like, I do think that's a building block moving forward, especially when you consider what happened in May. Like, for them to bounce back and win 6 of 9 at home, if they do, after May, okay, get that thing pointed in the right direction.
How do you feel about Rich Hill tonight? Like, what if he does have a bad performance, though? I don't want to talk negative.
You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Uh-huh. I'm going to stand up for this one.
Uh-oh.
Here it comes. Remember how I used to call him Rich Over the Hill?
Yes.
Now he's Rich King of the Hill. He's Dick Mountain. There is no pitcher I would rather have on the mound tonight than Rich Hill. He has been consistency personified. I'm a chooch. I don't know. Is that the right word? He has been so consistent for them, such a leader for them. I expect him to go out there and give them 6 innings so your bullpen doesn't get killed. And I think when he exits the game after 6 innings, they're going to be in the game. Johan Oviedo's got awesome stuff. Luis Ortiz has awesome stuff. Mitch Keller, he's been bumpy the last 3 starts. Rich Hill, on a day where I think you need him and you need veteran leadership, I think he's going to have them in the ballgame when he exits, probably in the 6th inning. He's the guy I want on the mound.
So he'll have enough today, even if the bats aren't striking.
I don't know. I mean, he'll give them a chance.
Yeah.
I can never, ever look at this Pirates lineup and say you're going to walk away with a lead. Like, I don't have enough confidence in them. But I do have confidence in Rich Hill. And I've said in the past, like, if you need to start a wild card game, well, then, yeah, you want Rich Hill. He's your ace. But the last 3 starts, even though I'm not as down on him as others are, I'm a little bit back of my mind going, Rich Hill, veteran, today, the Dick Mountain against the Mets, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Because you had 2 starters piggyback off each other in the last game, and it was terrible results. Young guys. Rowanzi Contreras, young guy. Rich Hill done seen this before.
Yeah.
Not his first rodeo. I like the pitching matchups in this series, though, too, because Oviedo comes off that 7 innings, 3-run performance, and then you have Mitch Keller, who you slid up, which I didn't love that, but I guess
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
At this point.
Correct. If they win 6 out of 9, you think people forget about Oakland?
No. No. Oakland had 12 wins coming into that series.
You think they'll just, and they kicked the crap out of the Pirates,
yes,
too. Like, it wasn't just a, oh, boy, skin of your teeth, that stunk. No, it was, that stunk.
No, that's, it's going to be looked
20-7.
You should have won that. You should have swept them.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't.
Well, where do fans come down on this? At 412-928-9370. I'm not going to, I look down at the text line, the first thing I see is 13-9. Why? The hell's that have to do with anything? Why am I getting hit with 13-9 here?
Look in the mirror.
I've wavered on this, and that's never a good place to be as a radio host, but if you win 6 out of 9, if you win 2 out of 3 from the Mets, I do think you're going to see the highlights on social media, however you, oh, Key Brian Hayes with a 2-run double. Oh, Rich Hill with a wonderful performance, and that'll be top of mind, and Pirates fans will go, oh, okay, because the Mets have lost 6 in a row. This ain't a great baseball team coming in here either. Neither was Oakland. But in the moment, I think you'll forget about it. They bounced back. They got back on the right foot. All that yada yada crap. And then you just kind of see. But if they lose 2 out of 3, I think we're looking panic mode because of the state of the rotation.
Well, I think that's kind of both, the state of the rotations.
That's
going to
be there. Yeah, it's going to be there either way.
Right.
But the if, let's say, Mitch Keller wins on Sunday and pitches like Mitch Keller of May, your rotation's not as much in flux. I mean, you still have question marks in Oviedo, in Ortiz. What are you going to get on a given performance by them? But you would feel better. Okay, Mitch Keller settled it down. Mm-hmm. He's our guy again. And you
Rich Hill won us a game.
Yeah, you trust Rich Hill again. And now you're really looking at one gaping hole in the rotation that we still don't have answers for, by the way. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with that. I don't know if it's going to be Quinn Priester, who wasn't great his last time out.
Bumgarner.
I don't know if they're going to make a signing like Madison Bumgarner, who's washed, but you might as well throw something against the wall, especially if you don't think Quinn Priester is ready.
I'm not voting for Bumgarner, by the way, whoever's listening out there right now.
What do you mean voting for him?
I'm not championing for them to sign Bumgarner.
I wouldn't hate it. If they don't think Quinn Priester's ready and that's really why he's not up here, then try it. And then if he flames out, go with Priester. The problem is, where are the options? Starkey brought this up yesterday. Where are the prospects? Where are the high-end prospects? Where are any of the pitching prospects? And my counter was, well, they're here already. Like, Roansy was supposed to be that guy who had arrived, and he was one of your pitching prospects. And Ortiz was one of your guys, and he's arrived as a pitching prospect. And Oviedo wasn't even going to be in the rotation this year if Brubaker didn't get hurt. He's arrived. But the lack of depth that they have, almost regardless of how this series plays out, that is definitely still concerning. But again, if Mitch Keller pitches well, I do think at least that concern's off the table. Oh, jeez.
I feel like you're warming up to being back.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Because
a little bit.
You're
looking at the positive, and you sometimes you don't do that.
I'm just, this whole segment has basically, you might as well title it Thinking Out Loud.
Positively.
But, well, kind of, yeah. What if they get swept by the Mets, who can't win a game right now? What if they lose 2 out of 3 to the Mets?
That's then
bad.
Bad.
Bad. Really we keep bad. Doing this thing, though.
Because then you're going into Milwaukee.
Correct.
And Chicago.
Correct. And we've been doing this. This 9-game stretch is the most important of the season. This 9-game stretch. This 9-game stretch. And at every single passing moment, yeah, that has been the most important 9-game stretch. This one really is the most important 9-game stretch, though. Like, for real.
Yes.
Until the next one.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
412-928-9370 on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran. I don't want to read this text, but I'm going to. I look at the Pirates like a girl you hook up with because it's good, but you can't commit or invest in her because she's unstable. Well, that speaks to the intangible. Like, the Pirates have hurt us so much before that you don't want to buy into them now. The tangible actually has me more worried than that. The tangible being the health of the rotation. Yada, yada. Up next, Chris Mack. He joins the program. He'll give us his best bet of the weekend. And also, there's something going on in Jacksonville that may be pertinent here in Pittsburgh. We'll do that, too, with Chris Mack on the Fan Morning Show. This segment brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Speaking of weight loss, hello, Chris Mack.
Hello, friends. My mic
is on. Oh, you know what? I got to run in there and help the intern.
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God.
Of course.
Jeez, oh,
I mean, come on, Adam. Jesus, man.
What is going on today? Am I on now?
No.
Am I on?
Is he on? Is he
on? I think you're on. I think he's on. Should I go in the other room and make sure he's on?
I mean,
radio, you're not on. Give me a second here.
We'll
do it again.
Oh my gosh. What are we doing?
It's a Friday. Crowley's done
what
trying.
What are we doing?
How about now?
There we go.
Is.
Okay. All right.
Woo!
Goodness.
Great to be back with you boys. I see that nothing really has changed.
Yeah, you say Friday, things are a little squirrely. It's just a day.
Every day, yeah.
So
that ends in Y.
You are doing a show today with Joe Starkey.
Yes.
Tell us about this brilliant idea that you guys have cooked
up. This is all Starkey's idea. So if it doesn't work, it's all on him.
Of course.
If it does work, I will take credit because I'm coming up with half of it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to see if we can get through 100 topics in 4 hours.
What?
Yep.
Sports topics or just anything?
I'm going with anything.
Okay. Wait a second here.
His list, he's printed out a list. I will hold it up to the camera right now, which I'm sure you also did not show the intern how to fix, Crowley.
No, of course not.
He has 50 sports topics. I'm at like 30, 31 maybe, and I'd say probably 25 of them are sports.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a little, you know, 5%, 5 to 10%
and they're
ratio.
Not, there's no crossing
overlap.
Up.
No
wow.
overlap.
All 50 of his topics are sports?
Yeah, I'm just glancing again.
Because I was going to guess he was going to bring up that caveman thing he always brings up.
Mm,
like, no, do we really know about cavemen? Nobody was there.
This is literally everything is tied into sport. The least sports-related thing is who would make the best partner for bleephead Skip Bayless. That's sports adjacent.
LeSean McCoy.
No.
He would be swimming in some deep waters there. Give me one more. Give the people a little tease. Give me one of yours.
All right, I'll just give you the top one on his list. What would you do with a Kutch milestone ball?
We did that.
Yeah, we did.
What would you do?
Did he steal that from you?
What would you do with a Kutch milestone ball?
I'd give it back. Ask for like a photo op for the kids with Kutch.
Okay.
A photo with Kutch and my kids, and give him the ball while he holds the ball, and then I don't know.
What if it was Barry Bonds' 2000th hit? Let's just say that happened here in Pittsburgh.
I'd ask Barry how much he'd be willing to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
I think the hitter of the ball matters there.
Absolutely, it matters.
Yeah.
Kutch is a good human. Barry?
Dirtbag.
Okay, you said it.
Bad guy. Give me one more.
My top topic, because I think this is going to set Starkey up for something, is golf fun?
No.
It's not.
Yes.
It's not. Yes, you're lying. It just makes you angry. You are one of the single most competitive people I know.
Yes.
That's why it's fun.
You get angry, don't you?
But it's fun.
When things don't go well, you get angry.
You play yesterday.
Anything that makes you that angry
can't be fun.
Can't be fun.
Yeah.
Football's not fun?
Damn it. What'd you shoot yesterday?
93.
Was that fun?
Yes. For the course I played at.
At times fun, right?
But competing's fun to me.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's why I have a different opinion.
But losing is not fun.
No, but losing.
So did anybody you were with shoot better than you?
Yes.
Did that make you upset?
No.
Not in the least.
Because in golf, I don't compete against other people. I compete against myself.
Mm. What about when you lost a football game? That wasn't fun.
That was not fun, but I knew that the next day I could go back and fix it, which was fun.
You're sick, man.
I know.
That's not fun to me.
That's fun.
That's work.
Because you don't have self-doubt. I doubt every single thing I do. I turn on the microphone and I go, I'm going to say stuff. I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but I'm just going to say stuff.
Say it.
Yeah. You tweeted out the rendering, the visual rendering.
Oh, the big video from Jacksonville.
Yeah, Duval.
Shad Khan, so charitable of him, is willing to pay 33% of it.
Well, see, that's a thing, man. Like you asked the question, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here. I'm sure you guys will dive into it, nuance and all that fun stuff. But like, would that fly in Pittsburgh? I don't think for a second that we'd want some flying space saucer, Death Star kind of thing up in Cranberry. Like, I just think people in Pittsburgh want to watch ball, be entertained by the football team, drink beers, sober up in the parking lot, and go home.
The issue is we've never had to deal with a team that wasn't worth going to see.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about all the amenities at PNC Park.
In my lifetime, I can think of maybe two or three years in the late 80s where they weren't worth going to see, right? Even when they're 6-10 under Cowher in 2000, 2001, whatever it was, 2000. People still went to see them because I think we're beyond the point, unless they went 3-14 for like 10 years, people are still going to go. It's the Steelers. So you don't need that stadium in Pittsburgh. But do the Rooneys want that stadium in Pittsburgh? Here's the question, because Caboli already came back at me and said, well, the only thing that matters, Rooney. And Alan Saunders said the same thing. As long as somebody named Rooney owns the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're not leaving the North Side. If they get enough money somewhere else,
yes,
they'll leave the North Side.
For sure.
What if we?
Money, that's the one thing that overrules everything.
Yes.
Look at the PGA Tour.
Yes.
And look, there's a valid question. Could they make more money in southern Butler County or northern Washington County? That's a valuable question, especially with all their real estate interests on the North Side. I get it. This is a high-level conversation that Larry and Marty can have.
Correct.
As a Steelers fan, I'll be honest, if they're winning, I don't know if I really care where they're playing, as long as it's not in Ohio.
I agree. You're going to go to the games.
I don't think Heinz Field is this bastion of football glory. Like I don't think it's some mecca.
If not for the team, we'd call it what it is, a dump.
Yeah, it just is what it is. There's no frills.
No, it's what Three Rivers Stadium was.
Yeah.
It's a concrete slab thrown down on the North Side.
Yeah.
It's got a little more personality because you can dress it up a little bit.
I think people from out of town that aren't Steelers fans, when they see the Steelers on the schedule, they might think, oh, I'll go to Pittsburgh because I want to be caught up in that.
Well,
I
don't you think do get caught up in it. You don't get caught up in the stadium, though.
Correct.
You get caught up in Renegade, and you get caught up in towels, and you get caught up in all that.
Right. If I go to Green Bay, I want to go see the stadium. If you come to a game in Pittsburgh, you want to see how we, the best sports fans in the world, do our football thing.
Yeah.
Football.
Football. Football thing. That football thing.
What else you got, Mac?
Oh, man. What else do we have?
We're pilfering. Wait a second. No. We can't. We got to do the Pat Narduzzi thing.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get into Pat Narduzzi.
Because I wrote about it, and I don't think the eye-opener went up yet this morning, because I just wrote it this morning rather than last night. But it's good, because I got to listen to you guys talk about Deion versus Deuce. I look at it this way. I think in the end, and I said this a couple weeks ago, I think we talked about it one morning. It'll be judged by results. You know, if Deion wins a Pac-12 title and goes to, the Rose Bowl doesn't really qualify as the biggest Pac-12 postseason game anymore, I guess. I don't know if it does. But goes to a big game to wrap up a season within 2 or 3 years, people go, hey, what Deion did worked. What Pat does can work too. It's just there's two ways to skin the cat. I think it's each of them understanding that this guy's way may work. This guy's way may work. Deion's way is just, I'll be honest, a whole lot more transparent. I'm not saying Pat isn't transparent, but a whole lot more transparent about what college D1 revenue-generating college sports are now.
Yeah, and that's why people were
hopping
on the text line calling us naive. Forgive me for wanting these kids to get an education, though.
But D1 revenue-generating athletes are there to generate revenue. It's their job. I understand, as a secondary topic to that, as a secondary line of thinking, oh yeah, I want to get an education. I want to set myself up for the future. I understand that because there are still D1 revenue generating athletes who are in it for that. Not everybody's everybody goes pro, just not in sports or whatever you said, the commercial, that NCAA commercial. But if you're a coach and you get paid to win games and generate revenue for your athletic department and the players want to get paid like the coaches get paid, well then guess what? If it's your job to bring money in, and it's the team's job to bring money in, don't be mad if you're not bringing the money in that your program's supposed to bring in and the boss tells you to kick rocks because you're not good enough.
Well, what bothers me about that, and I do agree with it, what bothers me, though, is instead of, hey, show of hands, who doesn't want to be here, it's, hey, all y'all get out of here.
Yeah, get out. I mean, him
Deion
forcing guys out.
Deion did keep some guys.
He did.
He told about 2/3 of the roster, you're not good enough to play for me. I'm
Hit
Coach Prime. Which, again, you're right, Doran. It's all about him. I get that. But as an NCAA Division I revenue-generating coach, it has to be all about me because I want a job where I make more money. The kids helping me find that success will find their own success along the way. It's like Ramon used to say all the time. We win a Super Bowl, everybody eats. If the coach does well and the players do well, everybody gets to eat. So the players need to understand, as a team, as a program, if we're not part of finding success for that coach, yeah, sure, it's great if I get ready for whatever my job's going to be, whether it's professional football or broadcasting or whatever, after school, that's great, but we're here to make money.
I mean, I'm not trying to generate revenue for the coach because, maybe I don't want that coach. Maybe that coach will leave and then I'll get a better coach.
But you want to get paid, right?
Yeah.
Athletes now, and I don't blame them for wanting to get paid.
Right.
But if you're going to get paid, then you're also acknowledging I'm not just a student athlete. It's like Cardale said a few years ago.
A lot of the people that get kicked out, though, are the ones who, I mean, weren't all that good at Division I football. I'm guessing a lot of them are there for school in addition to, though. Like,
sure, but if you're also there to play football, then you better be good enough at football to help coach win enough games that he doesn't get fired in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I do get that. I wish it were more, okay, here's how many open spots we have. Let me ask around, see who wants to be here and who doesn't. The guys who want to remain here, I will
and
try to
nice.
Develop.
That's Pat's idea, right? Like,
right.
Hey, I want you to be here. And if you want to be here and you're going to be loyal to Pitt, I'm going to be loyal to you. And that's the two-way street, and that's the way it works for Pat, and it's worked. I don't think we can argue that it's worked since he's come here, especially the last few years. But I also think if you're a student athlete and you're naive to the fact that if you're getting paid, this is now your job, you can't be naive to the fact that if you're not good enough at your job, you might get fired.
I do wonder how many guys are getting paid, though.
Not all of them.
How many of the guys that were there were getting paid or are getting paid? You got best bets?
Not right now because I have to cook some up. I'm trying to come up with a list
of
50 things.
You got 800. How many more do you need? He has 49?
He needs like 15 more.
I probably need like 15 more, yeah.
What's the second one? You read the first one. What's the second one?
How many games will Tua start next year?
Oh. How many games will Kenny start next year?
16.
Whoa! Last game, sit down because we're going to the playoffs? 12 Maybe. Wins, Doran.
You come up with the scenario with you. On your own, Crowley.
Choose your own adventure.
Yes.
Thank you, Mac Attack.
Thank you.
This has been delightful.
It's fun to be with you, boys.
Nice to see your smiling face.
16 minutes from now, I'll be here with Starkey.
And it will be decidedly less fun.
Yes, horse.
Coming up next. That's right, I said it. It's Fan Morning Show. Doran, before we get to That's Right, I Said It, how are we going to start the show at 6 o'clock moving forward? That's my Mike Sullivan impression.
What are you feeling right now? I would say...
I gave you nothing there. Yeah. You came to me for answers and you got, duh.
Well, I gave you nothing because you asked me and then I asked you.
Friday is 7 minutes away. Like, the weekend is 7 minutes away. So you're going to get, duh. Honestly, morals not being in the way, I'm feeling MJ.
Me too.
But if you want to bring up MJ's past, which is your right, then I'm thinking this. Hit it.
Raw base, it takes two. I think that's number one.
Bang!
Number two should be too legit to quit because it's the second hour of the show.
Well, you know they spell two differently, correct?
Yeah, but...
That'd be T-W-O for hour two. T-O-O is a different thing.
Where'd you learn that from? Oh, West Virginia?
Well, I was about to explain what T-O-O actually is until I realized I can't explain it. It was like the other day when the texter goes, can you guys please explain Super 2? And I basically did the thing again.
You're so full of it.
Hey, it's Pony.
I hate you.
Why do you hate me?
There's so many people. Get on the microphone.
Come on, hit the
button. It's just a big party. Everybody wants to be a part of our party.
Why am I a...
What is that hat?
Doran, do you have no sack today?
Why?
I'm driving in. I heard you say you want West Virginia or college athletes to be student athletes first.
Yes. No. Not first.
No,
but
they are.
Those guys on Colorado that got shown the door, those aren't guys making any money on NIL.
Right. You wouldn't care about them if Deion Sanders replaced Neil Brown and he said, I'm going to do it my way, and he kicked 40 guys off the team. But you'd effing love it.
Why?
You'd say those guys suck.
I don't have...
Everything Deion Sanders is doing at Colorado, if they took Howdy Doody out of there at West Virginia...
This isn't the NFL. He's trying to develop young men.
Wait a second
here. He doesn't
here.
Give an F about young men.
Yes, I do. It's why I said
no,
Bob.
No, he does not. If Coach Prime said, I'm replacing all these guys with five-star NIL dudes,
but
he'd
he's
say,
not
well,
doing
too
that.
Bad. This is a life lesson.
That
You're
is
getting
true.
A harsh reality check right now. You're not good enough to play here.
I would not say
Since
that.
Since when do you take the moral high ground? Rich Rodriguez and guys like Pac-Man Jones and Jock Sanders. You love that.
You don't remember what I said about him back then.
I've heard what you've said about West Virginia on the air for the last year.
Like Bob Huggins should have been fired for with what he said?
That has nothing to do with players you recruit. You can't take the moral high ground on this. All you want West Virginia to do is win by hook or by crook. And you know that. And you know that about him too, Doran.
That is not the case. That is not the case. I think that if Deion Sanders were doing what everybody else was doing, that's one thing. Deion Sanders has taken it to the extreme.
Yes, he is.
That's okay. What I have a problem
is.
With.
Is he not? Is it not all about Deion?
He's punted 70 kids
him.
Into the sun.
I don't... I'm just pointing out his hypocrisy.
There's no
hypocrisy
here.
Yes, it is.
If Neil Brown walked in and he wanted to overturn the roster... Actually, here, let's do a hypothetical...
If Deion was the coach at West Virginia and this was going on, what would
right.
you say?
So okay, we'll make it a realistic...
You'd say, this is wrong? No, you would not. You'd say, good for Deion. He needs
no,
to clean
absolutely
up
not.
This 4-8 football
Absolutely
program
not.
And do it his way. And you know I'm right about
if
that,
If Neil
Doran.
Brown walked away or got fired, which is the most likely outcome.
Which should have happened.
And what? Yes, it should have. And whatever coach came in said, I'm going to throw 70 players out.
Yes.
I would be pissed off if it wasn't,
oh,
hey,
stop.
Who among you wants to be here versus who among you doesn't want to be here? I'm not kicking guys off scholarship.
Right.
Just because I want to win football
you
games.
You would be so hyped for Deion Sanders. You would accept anything he did.
I'm telling you, to your face, good voice, by the way, that I am not going
to
do that.
You are lying to us right now.
Have you seen Bob Huggins' transfer class, though? It's really good.
He'd rather lose to Pitt with guys that they kept around than go out and completely overhaul the roster
a program.
He would build a program.
Building a program.
By kicking guys out? No, it's
not. Yes, it is.
It's
Jeff Cable
them.
Pretty much did that 1 year at Pitt, and he should get praised for that.
No, you don't just kick guys out. You can bring guys in. You can bring five stars in with having the other guys
on
the roster,
too. And the Narduzzi example isn't even relevant because he actually inherited a good team. They had good players. He didn't have guys to kick out.
How many games did they win the year before he got there?
What other coaches ever done that?
And then he won eight with those guys 2 years
later. What other coach in the last 20 years has kicked 70 players off the roster?
How many coaches have inherited Colorado's mess with the NIL thing going on? I love it.
A bunch? There's probably a bunch of coaches that inherited bad teams.
A team that bad?
Probably.
They were the worst Power 5 team in America.
Those poor kids at Colorado.
I'm just calling out your hypocrisy.
There's no hypocrisy.
And you are a man who is living in two worlds right now.
Where am I?
You're on your high horse.
You say you're sick of it.
If it were happening at your school,
Crowley,
you'd
don't
be
take
loving
this.
It. Don't
I'm
take
not
this
taking
from
it. You
do not.
You
take
are
a stand.
It.
You take a stand right now.
Well, I would if you would just please.
Take a stand.
You said you're sick of my hypocrisy. Where else have I been hypocritical then?
Oh, you know you've got two lives right now.
Two lives?
There's a fake Crowley and a real Crowley, and I think fake Crowley's coming out more and more.
Wow.
Yeah, you're trying to wear too many hats.
Wow.
Okay.
I think he's lost authentic Crowley in this
transition. Oh, my goodness. You're going to take that?
I did say I would take Saudi blood money the other day.
Exactly.
The highest bidder. All right. Well, that was fun.
That's right. I said it.
What the hell's wrong with his voice? All right. That's right. I said it.
Talks too much.
He told me how I felt.
Yes.
And then whenever I tried to explain how I felt, he yelled at me.
Yep. And you took it.
You can't get a word in.
I can't believe I have to go into my nice weekend with knowing that my partner in crime has just got eliminated.
Here's a text. Get Pony off the air. Here's another one. Tell Pony to shut the bleep up. What a little bleep. Here's another one. Pony sucks. Here's another one. You guys all on meth this morning? Jeez. Yes. Yes, we are all on meth. And we will be playing this song to start our show every single day at 6 o'clock. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer Equinox, the all-new redesigned 2024 tracks, and online at sunchevy.com. Dorn, you had something?
Yes, lovebirds. If you're ready to get engaged, you need to visit my personal jeweler, Noah Gabriel Company Jewelers. They're the best in the burg, and you'll make her heart skip with a perfect ring created by you. Her ring will be custom made to your specs and budget. With attention to details, want to know the best part about Noah Gabriel Company Jewelers? You'll get a peace of mind with their exclusive perfect ring guarantee. If she doesn't absolutely love her ring, exchange it for the ring of her dreams within a year of purchase. Visit Noah Gabriel Company Jewelers in Wexford or Ross Park Mall and discover the difference.
I never gave the weather. 65. It's going to be cool out there today. I'm frazzled. What a terrible way to start the weekend.
I know. I'm disappointed. I'm a disappointed dad.
If we keep talking, what, you're disappointed in me?
Yes.
What am I supposed? That's it. That's the show. We'll talk to you on Monday. Goodbye.
Bye. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.